All it takes, all that needs to happen, folks, is that God's people, God's children, God's church has to demonstrate that we're the real thing. I was looking at scripture on Wednesday. You might as well just start me, Dan. Looking at scripture on Wednesday, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing this tune, this song. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. I didn't hear about the picture on the wall and all the other stuff. But I'm like, what in the world? Why am I hearing this? I wasn't thinking about it at all. And so I ask, why am I hearing this? I'm casting it down and trying to capture. It's a Bible says capture thoughts. I'm capturing the thought. So no, you thought you're going to obey Christ. It was. It was obeying Christ. It kept rolling through my head. And finally, I went, okay, God, you're trying to tell me something. What is it? Why is this song in my head? And he said to me, because it's time. It's past time. The world needs to know that my children are the real thing. That they're authentic. That they are genuine. Because once they see that we are authentic, once they see that we're genuine, guess what they'll do? They'll listen to what we have to say. We're like, okay, when are things going to be restored? And I was thinking that, okay, when's restoration time? Restoration's coming, I know it. And God said, well, then you already have what you need. You know it's coming. Look at Joel 2. If you need a title for this, it's The Acts of the Authentic. It's like the book of Acts. They say it's the Acts of the Apostles. God said it's the Acts of the Authentic. It's the acts of those who really believe Jesus is the Christ, down to every single detail. Joel 2, verse 25, in the Amplified Classic Bible, God said, and I will restore or replace for you the years that the locusts have eaten. He said, I will restore or replace for you the what? The what? The what? The years. What does that mean? That these folks had to be dealing with locusts for years. For years. We get upset because we think we'll speak to a circumstance and immediately it goes away. Sometimes that happens. But God is saying, I will replace the years. And that scripture tells us something else. It doesn't matter what the name the destroyer goes by. In the Amplified, it said the hopping locust, the stripping locust, the crawling locust. It doesn't matter what type of locust it was. It doesn't matter what form it comes in. God said, I'll restore or replace any damage. It's done. Now, mind you, he was talking to people whom have not yet received the power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But he was letting them know, I got it covered. That was Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We have a better covenant established on what? Better promises. So if he promised to restore or replace the years to them, what is he going to do for us when we have better? So just knowing that Father said, whatever damage the locust does, I'll restore or replace it. Should be enough. That should give us the peace that we need. start thinking about the replacement. Okay, God, this is what I had. But the next one now, I want an iPad Pro. I want one with a little more memory. But we focus on how long. Some people can tell you down to the day how long they've been waiting for something. I can't. One time I tried. There's some things I remember. Not that I try to remember, it just comes out. But I don't think about how long I've been dealing with something. You know why? Because then I start getting anxious or angry or frustrated. And then I fall into unbelief because why shouldn't this happen? I'm speaking the word. Hey, I'm teaching the word. God, I'm one of your instructors. What do you mean? Why is this thing still here? I'm supposed to go to the people and tell them with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed, and I'm still going through this or this or this or this. None of that defines me. None of it defines me. This is really, it's a big deal. Because we've been damaging our faith, trying to believe away or pray away things that God had Jesus tell us is going to happen. And if it's going to happen, we need to just go through it. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, King James Version. Verse 22. Jesus said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sakes, but he that does what?" Go ahead, you can say it loud. "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." That brings us to a thought that no one really likes to hear. He that endureth to the end means whatever the circumstance is, to experience the victory, you have to go through the whole thing. And we don't like to think that. We want it to end now. Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end." So whether the end is 5 minutes or 15 years, if you endure to the end, you'll get it. But if you stop along the way, guess what you'll get? Nothing. I have a question. When you go through the Psalms, you see a phrase, "His mercy endures forever." All through it, so I started looking through the Psalms. It's too numerous to just list them all. But just go to Bible Gateway and put "endureth," and you'll see all these scriptures in the Psalms where it's this happened, but his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Why do you think God made that point, that his mercy would endure forever? Because we were always going to be in need of his mercy. But not only that, how long were we going to be in need of his mercy? Forever. Forever. So he's letting us know, doesn't matter what happens, my mercy endures forever. God never going to run out of mercy. So that needs to let us know that stuff is always going to happen. One of my favorite get me through it scriptures is John 16:33 in the Amplified. I mentioned it a lot, not as much as I do John 10, but Jesus said, "I've told you these things," John 16, verse 33, Amplified Classic, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace, and confidence. Perfect peace, perfect confidence. Why? In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustration. How many of us live in the world? So what did Jesus say we were going to have? Tribulations and trials, distresses, frustration. Anybody here ever go through a trial? Anybody here ever get frustrated? Anybody here was ever distressed? You live in the world. And those things come with living in the world. But he didn't say, and it's going to stop you from doing what I said. He said, but be of good cheer. In the world, you will have frustrations, distresses, troubles. And he's saying, when that happens, you raise a hallelujah. You raise a hallelujah. Because in that song, it says, in the presence of my enemies. So you don't go, you know, hiding in the closet. Say, hallelujah. No. You go right in the presence of all your enemies, look them eye to eye, and go, hallelujah. Yes. And sometimes they'll turn up, but don't you know I'm twisting your arm? Hallelujah. And guess what you find out? Your arm's not being twisted anymore. See, I learned something from the account of Paul and the thorn. I learned something. And I want you to learn it also. How many times did Paul go to God about this? 3 times. How much kingdom work did he do during that time? Does the Bible talk about anybody getting saved? Does the Bible talk about him giving any messages or teaching anyone or helping anyone or building up the body of Christ? It doesn't talk about him. His concern was what he was going through. And I noticed something interesting. First time I noticed it, I was sitting down, I said, what? I didn't find one, this was early in my Christian life, I couldn't find any place in the Bible where it said, and God removed the thorn. Why? Because it was no longer of any importance to Paul. God's grace is sufficient. So if God tells me his grace is sufficient, then God must have known I was going to be going through things. He's already equipped me to deal with it so I can go back to doing what he called me to do. This is no different. God's grace is still sufficient for us. So we have to stop letting go of our faith because the circumstance doesn't end when we think it should. We have to go with our faith if the circumstance never ends in our lifetime. We should still accomplish everything we're supposed to accomplish. Why? Because this is how we fight our battles. We praise and we keep going on. We don't think about it. Now, in Malachi 3, going back to what I heard, the lyrics to that song, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. Verse 18, Amplified Bible, God said, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. So God said that there should be a difference between people who serve me and people don't. There should be a very distinct difference between those who are my children and those who are not. There should be a difference. People should be able to see that difference. They shouldn't have to figure out, is this person a Christian or I don't know. They should know. The minute we show up, they should know Christ just showed up on the scene. How will they know that? Because of the way they've seen us behave towards one another. In John 13, 34, in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. Everyone will know that you're authentic. Everyone will know that you're genuine. Everyone will know that you're the real thing. Why? They see you loving one another the same way Jesus loves us. Now, where did Jesus get that from? Well, he said, as the Father has loved me, so I you. So God, Jesus loves us the same way God loves him. Which means God loves us the same way he loves Jesus. The same way. And so his instructions to us are do the same thing that he does. The same way he loves Jesus, Jesus loves us. The same way Jesus loves us, we love one another. And the same way we love one another, we should be loving the world. The same way. That's the cycle. The same way. Why? We will be known as true as true Christians. We'll be known as genuine Christians. We'll be known as authentic. But there's something that you have to do. I shared it on Wednesday. But you know, sometimes I have great discussions with our production team after the message because I want to know how it projected, how it came out, how if they received anything from it. And I was talking to Moses, and as I joked with the folks this morning, not the Moses that parted the Red Sea, you know, but our Moses here. You know, we were talking, and what struck him was in Colossians 3, it says every item of your new way of life, well, starting with verse 9, it says, don't lie to one another, you're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. And Moses told me he got this picture of like a designer label and the things that people do to get designer labels. I mean, the money that they pay just so you have a specific logo on their sneakers. It amazes me. Folks, they can't buy food, they can't buy coats, but they'll have their new, I don't even know what the newest sneakers are now. Because Jordans are, I don't know, what are the new sneakers, Moses? Jordans, okay. Score one for the old, the new old school. Okay. But what people pay up for them, why? Because they know that Michael Jordan was legit. He was the real deal. And so they don't care if they have to pay outrageous amounts of money for these sneakers. They don't care because they want the real thing. Said all the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. And so love is like that designer label. And when Christians show love to one another, it authenticates us as true followers. That's the only way the world's going to know that. In Mark 16, after Jesus, you know, he appeared to his disciples. He was getting ready to ascend back to heaven. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus had to come and get on their case because they weren't operating in faith. He's about to give them a very important job. He has to make sure that their faith is up to it. And he got on their case because of their unbelief. And once he was comfortable, once he was sure that they got it together, then he said to them in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this is what's important. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs, if you're going into all the world and you're the real deal, signs should be following. If you're going into all the world and you're full of faith, signs will be following. Because you're going into all the world expecting that signs will follow. Expecting. Jesus knew that. He said, I can't give this charge to these guys when they're in this state. I have to get them in faith before I give them this assignment. And, you know, some translations say he took them to task most severely. He wasn't nice about it. He wasn't smiling. He said, you got to believe this. I'm sure he was in their face. What's the matter with you? You've seen with your eyes. You've done with your hands. You have personal, upfront, up-close knowledge that I am the Christ and that I've given you power. You're the ones that said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Why are you not believing now? The same belief you had then is what you need to have now. And when he saw that they got it, he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever doesn't believe will be damned. But these signs will follow you because you believe. So if the signs aren't following you, guess what? You're not believing. Talking about believing is not believing. Well, what is it? It's talking about it. We have to get out of the talking phase and into the doing phase. He said, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, I read all of the translations in Bible Gateway. I started looking up the different translations I had, you know, the Ben Campbell Johnson and all these other translations that I have at home, because I was looking for a loophole. I really was. And guess what? I couldn't find one. Well, what were you looking for? I was looking for the place where it said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature unless something happens that would make it uncomfortable. I couldn't find it. It's not there. I was looking for a place that to go into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel unless the government says you can't do it. I couldn't find it. Yeah, but you tell us and you read the scripture that says respect the government. Yeah. There are legal ways to do things, even when they say no. We could have met before, but we could have only had 10 people in the room. We need three, really four, in the back. A pastor, that's five. So that means that five of you could have been there. Well, that wasn't conducive, so we decided to stream. This stream goes places where people would not normally come here. Normally on a Wednesday, we average a little, or I think it was around 40 people. Sometimes it was in the 30s. The first Wednesday we streamed, 94. We're on the stream. We didn't say, oh, well, we can't have service. We'll shut down, and I guess we'll just have a night off. No, we said, we'll use another method. This is taking place. This is going places. That stream went places where I was not, where Pastor Ed was not. But guess what? The gospel got there. Why? God gave us another way to do it. Why? Because our heart was to preach the gospel into all the world. And that's what we're doing. And it doesn't matter what's going on. I was reading something that Pastor Rick wrote, Pastor Rick Renner, in talking about Mark 16, 17, he said, these signs are God's signature that the message is true. That can also mean that these signs are an indication that the messenger is genuine, that the messenger is authentic. See, the signs don't come automatically. The signs come because the person, the messenger, is constantly believing that they will, no matter what happens. So how come some people raise the dead and some people can't? Some people believe they can, and some people talk about believing they can. But this tells me that these signs will follow them that believe. So if the sign's not following, there must not be belief going on. I remember reading, when you read after Jesus' account, we'll probably talk about that Wednesday, his account with the woman at the well. We're talking about a man who went to Jesus because his boy was sick and about to death. He wanted Jesus to come. And Jesus said, your child shall live. But he kept on, just come, come, come. But Jesus was adamant. He said, your child shall live. So he didn't go. And the man finally had to believe what Jesus said. He's walking, and people came running to him saying, your son is alive. Your son is alive. Now, Jesus, he didn't say, be healed in my name. He didn't say, I'll go and lay hands on him. He said, your son shall live. Period. Your son shall live. And it says, the man inquired, when did the change in my son's condition occur? And they told him. And he realized that was the same time Jesus said, your son shall live. Well, how come Jesus did that? He was the real deal. He was the authentic one. He was genuine. And anyone, any believer who demonstrates the same type of belief will get the same type of results, no matter what's going on in this world. Period. Our aunt, my last surviving relative, so to speak, in terms of aunts, uncles, parents, she was diagnosed, she developed COVID-19. And I received several calls from the nursing home, call the family together, make plans. I said, why? She's going to be gone in a day or so. And why do you say that? Is she showing symptoms that she's about to leave? No. So why are you calling me? Why are you calling me? Well, we've seen this in other patients. You know, they're here today and tomorrow they're just gone. So we want you to be ready. I said, my aunt's not going anywhere. What do you mean? We already talked about this. She said she's not ready to go. And so she's not going now. I don't care what it looks like. She's not dying. She's alive and well. And kicking, I don't mind get called. She still feels she can call me Greggy Peck. And when she can't get a hold of her grandchildren, my cousin, she'll call me. Say, I'd like some fried chicken. I'm like, I'm 90 minutes away. But you know what? If she's not here, I don't have it. So I endure, you know, some, what's the word? I don't want to say aggravation because it's not aggravating. But some inconveniences, because she's here. God was faithful to his word. I was faithful to God. I believed that what she said, when she said she wasn't ready to leave, to go anywhere, I believed it, and I got in agreement with her that she wasn't going anywhere. Not because of this. And like I said, she's still here. 87. in a nursing home. Okay, I can't tell you this in 15 seconds, but I got to tell you this. I'll tell it to you quickly, and then I'll do it in more detail on Wednesday. Acts 3. Talking about being the real deal and being authentic and acting like it. In Acts 2, you know, Peter and the other 119 folks received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Peter shared with the people who thought they were drunk. And they didn't care that they were drunk. They were just didn't think they should be drunk so early in the morning, you know. But Peter shared with them, and 3,000 people got saved. And of course, religious leaders and stuff had a cow because of it. But the next day, they were on their way to the temple. They passed by the man, lame from birth. And most of you know the account. They looked at him and they said, look on us. And the man thought he was going to get some money. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And Peter reached down and took the man's arm, and the man got up, his bones strengthened, and he walked. And the townspeople were like, whoa. We know this guy. He's been like this all his life. And the Bible tells us, I know I'm saying this quickly, I apologize for that, but we're a time thing. The Bible tells us in verse 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, so it means he was just hugging them. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When the people saw this man who was lame now healed, they looked at Paul, at Peter, and John. They looked at them differently and said, these guys are authentic. These guys are the real deal. And the multitude ran to them. When you read that through, it says that that day, 5,000 got saved. Even though they knew the religious leaders were going to have a problem with what they did. They didn't care because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs, he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs will follow anyone who believes. Anyone who keeps believing, anyone who's continually believing, these signs, not might follow, will follow. And I got so much more that I want to tell you, but you're going to have to come back. Can't come back Wednesday. You're going to have to tune into the stream on Wednesday. And I'll tell you the rest. But folks, when you're the real deal, When you are authentic, it should be shown in the things we do, the words we speak, and how we treat each other, and the concern we demonstrate for other people. That's why, even though he didn't start with it today in 1 Peter, there's a passage that says, treat everyone you meet with dignity. In 1 Peter 2, treat everyone you meet, around verse 16, with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government. When people see you doing that, they're going to know you're the real deal. You're the real thing. And they're going to come because they know ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. I'm going to unhook because I feel myself getting pulled in again. But I need to unhook. I'm going to unhook. And we'll talk more on Wednesday. Because I want to share with you how the enemy came in and just put a wedge, caused a wedge to develop between believers. So that believers would no longer be showing love to one another. And if the believers aren't showing love to one another, there's no indication that they are Jesus' the true disciples. Because the only indication, according to Jesus, is when they see the love you have one for another. So the enemy comes in and attacks that love so it can't be seen. And if it can't be seen, then the church becomes ineffective. And while we were too busy thinking about these so-called Christians and those so-called Christians, the enemy came creeping in with different rules and regulations. And when by the time we realize it, it's already in place. And the church is painted as the enemy. But you'll get more on that on Wednesday. Father, thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your manifested presence. Thank you for lifting our spirits. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to cast all our cares on you because you care for him. And all these cares that were cast are going to be cleaned up and thrown away. You're not going to know where they were thrown. Not going to know. As far as they no longer exist. They are, as my wife just said, gone. G-O-N-E. So, Father, we thank you that in the midst of the storm, we have peace. Because we understand that in the world we have tribulations. We understand that Jesus already conquered them for us. We understand that he's taken away their power to harm us. And we understand that you've given us authority over anything and everything that the devil's got. Thank you that we now receive the revelation of the understanding of who we are and what we have. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there's anyone in here that's never received Jesus Christ as Savior, would you just raise your hand? Because there's a confession I'd like to lead you in. I don't see anyone. So everyone say, I'm already saved. Amen. Amen. Amen.